This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. A new investigation by Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting has uncovered an exploitive system of labor at a North Carolina-based rehab program. People seeking treatment for drug addiction at Recovery Connections Community found themselves working 16-hour days with no actual treatment. Instead, the program was a form of indentured labor. Forced work at adult care homes funded the project and lined the pockets of the program's founder. Amy Julia Harris is an investigative reporter with Reveal and joins me now. Hello, Amy.
Hi.
Also with us is Shoshana Walter. She's also an investigative journalist with Reveal. Shoshana, welcome.
Hi, Frank. Thanks for having us.
My pleasure. Amy Julia, tell us about Recovery Connections Community. What did the program promise to its clients?
The program is a two-year residential rehab program, and they promised all of the people who are coming to the program helped with overcoming their addictions. They said that they were going to help them find jobs, learn how to live by themselves, and sort of rebuild their lives. But what the people who went through the program told us was that all it was basically a work camp, and they were forced to work 16-hour days, sometimes longer, in assisted living facilities. They got very little help for their addictions. All they had were sort of these therapy groups that were incredibly abusive and involved yelling, and the rest of it was just nonstop work.
And the paychecks, I assume, from this work went to Recovery Connections, right? They didn't receive any pay.
Right. The way the program works is that it's sort of a pay-for-your-stay model. So Recovery Connections, which is a nonprofit rehab program, had contracts with 9 adult care homes across North Carolina over the years. And they sort of operated like a staffing agency where Recovery Connections would send workers to the assisted living facilities. And the assisted living facilities would pay Recovery Connections, but all of the workers would work for free.
All right. Shoshana, give us a scope of this program. They operated 3 centers in North Carolina, right? So tell us about the centers, where they were, and how many clients might have been involved.
Absolutely. So there were 3 locations, 1 in Angier and 2 near Asheville. In total, about 40 people attend the program at any given time. A lot of them are sent were sent from probation officials and officers from the courts in lieu of prison. And also a lot of them came from state-funded detox, rehab, and psych facilities. Most of the people who attend this program don't have money or insurance, and they can't really afford any other mode of treatment. So this program is, one of their only options.
Amy, Julia, this would be a good time to talk about the founder of the program, Jennifer Warden. Warren. Tell us more about her.
Sure. So Jennifer Warren was a recovering drug addict herself, and she went to rehab years and years ago, and she decided to start a program of her own. She started it with several other rehab clients. It was called Recovery Ventures, which is a licensed rehab program in North Carolina. She was the clinical and therapeutic director of that rehab center, but ultimately ended up getting fired because she had some ethical breaches. She was dating one of the clients that she was counseling, and she would take other clients in the rehab program sort of out of treatment and have them perform personal favors for her. So she would have them babysit her children and color coordinate her closet and clean her house and care for her exotic animals. And that ultimately led to her having her substance abuse counseling license revoked by the state of North Carolina. And rather than sort of closing up shop, she opened up a new unlicensed rehab center, Recovery Connections Community.
Well, tell us about this, an unlicensed center, but you say the clients are being sent there by the courts. Don't the courts have any rules or vetting process, or is it perfectly okay to send them to an unlicensed center if you're the court, you're a judge, and you can mandate this individual to be in an unlicensed center? How does that all work?
Yeah, well, what we heard were there were guidelines in North Carolina that drug offenders are only supposed to get treatment for their addictions from licensed and vetted treatment centers. But a lot of courts were sending people to this program, even though it was not licensed. And a lot of probation officers as well sort of were either unaware of some of these guidelines, were confused about the licensure status of this rehab program, and were sending people who were on probation to this program. And it was not until there were significant problems later where people would complain to their probation officers about issues with the program that ultimately the state sort of started cracking down. And currently, they've issued a hard ban saying no one on probation in the criminal justice system in North Carolina can be sent to this program.
Yeah, but Shoshana, it did take a long time because you've reported that the State Department of Health and Human Services started receiving complaints in 2011, the year the program opened. Talk about how they managed all of this, a great paradox in the fact that they were unlicensed, and so the DHHS said, well, I guess we got nothing to do with you. Tell me more.
Right. Well, not long after Jennifer Warren started up Recovery Connections, DHHS got their first complaint that she was running an unlicensed program. And so an inspector came out to Recovery Connections to interview Jennifer. You know, it seems like from the state record, she was kind of sweet-talked a little bit. And ultimately, Jennifer told her that she was not running a treatment program, that she was not providing treatment or rehab services. And so this investigator from DHHS basically pointed to the state code saying, you know, if you want to continue providing these services, here is the code saying that you're exempt from licensure. If you provide 12-step peer support services and you're a nonprofit, then you are not required to be licensed by the state. So ever since then, you know, the multiple state agencies have received complaint after complaint about this program over the years. And ever since then, you know, Jennifer Warren has basically just pointed to this licensing exemption to say, you know, you don't have any purview over me.
Well, Amy Julia, let's talk more about the complaints and what it is that some of the clients were telling you about what was going on and what was not going on in these facilities.
Sure. We talked to dozens of people who went through this rehab program, and almost all of them described it as incredibly, incredibly abusive and traumatic. They said that they were forced to work 16, sometimes longer hour days at these assisted living facilities. They said that they received almost no training before they worked as personal care aides, where they were changing diapers of elderly and disabled patients, giving them showers. Some of them were even dispensing narcotics and prescription drugs, even though those were some of the same drugs that they were addicted to in the first place. They also were not supposed to be doing that. You're supposed to have a special certification in order to dispense these drugs. And people told us that things went wrong all the time at the assisted living facilities, that some of these rehab workers would steal prescription pain pills and snort them at the facilities, that they would rip fentanyl pain patches, which is an incredibly powerful opiate, off of elderly and disabled patients. And a really troubling thing that we heard from multiple participants was that some of these rehab workers were accused of sexually assaulting some of the patients in the adult care homes. And we could find no evidence that any of these cases of alleged sexual abuse were reported to authorities, as is required by law. Those were just some of the problems at the assisted living facilities. Back at the rehab center, they said that there were issues that they were spending all of this time working and did not feel like it was furthering their recovery. They sort of felt that it was just benefiting the rehab founder, Jennifer Warren. A lot of people described how, because this program is a nonprofit, their job was to call members of the public and local businesses and try to solicit donations. So they would get things like gift certificates for restaurants and donations of, you know, Coca-Cola or sugar from different places, clothes. And they said that rather than going to the rehab participants, it was often Jennifer Warren, the founder of the rehab, who would get first pick of anything. And she was sort of abusing this donation system So a lot of people describe this as this was sort of just a scheme to enrich the founder, and they didn't get much treatment help at all.
No, and there were a lot of red flags, and the state seems to have allowed this to go on despite all of these many of the complaints. As you say, the adult care facilities were not always reporting the abuses, but other abuses were. Since your reporting has come out, things have changed a little bit. The state attorney general has taken some action. Tell us where the case is right now. Shoshana?
Sure, yeah. There are now multiple criminal and regulatory investigations into the program. The Department of Public Safety has issued a ban on the program, so probationers are no longer allowed to attend the program, and they're currently looking for alternative housing for the people who are currently in the program and on probation. The Department of Health and Human Services has also ordered a cease and desist, so Recovery Connections is no longer allowed to be sending people to work at the care homes as caregivers. We know so far that Recovery Connections has lost its largest contract with an adult care home. The Marjorie McCune Center in Black Mountain used to employ workers there, but they have since canceled that contract. And so we know of multiple investigations, and we're just going to have to keep track of everything and see how it plays out.
All right. Well, thanks for your work. Thanks for the investigation. Of course, you can find links to the work at our website, stateofthings.org. Shoshana Walter, investigative reporter with Reveal, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Frank.
Amy Julia Harris, an investigative journalist with Reveal as well. Thank you, Amy Julia.
Thank you so much for having us.
As I say, links to their reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. That's where we share everything we do. We'll talk more about the sharing economy on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.